Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station for the Inner Life at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction, coming to you every weekday to give you a little bit of help, a little bit of hope on your journey of faith. Great to have all of you with us today. And today we're going to talk about the sacrament of matrimony. Marriage is the foundation of our families, and our families are under attack as never before. There are fewer marriages, more divorces. Families are hurting. Sister Lucia, one of the Fatima visionaries, in 1917, who lived into her 90s, in one of her last interviews before she died, she said, "The final battle between Jesus and Satan will be over marriage and the family." And here we are in 2020, and the assault on our families is ferocious. Well, we're going to talk about that today. Here to help us on the journey, our spiritual director, back with us once again, Father Carter Griffin. Father's a priest in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. He is the rector of the St. John Paul II Seminary in Washington. Father Griffin is a convert to the faith, a former line officer in the U.S. Navy, and author of the book, Why Celibacy? Reclaiming the Fatherhood of the Priest. Father Carter Griffin, welcome back. Great to have you with us today.
Thanks. It's good to be back. I guess it's funny having a guy who wrote a book on celibacy to talk about marriage, but...
Well, maybe we should talk about that. But it's all connected. Trust me, it's all connected.
It most certainly is.
Yeah. And we'll get into all of that. It's all about vocations. It's all about God's call, and certainly the call of one man, one woman to live their life forever in the bond of marriage. It's important. And all of you married couples listening today, it's important. I want to talk a little bit today about fighting for our marriage. I think sometimes we give up too easily. But we'll get into all of that as we do every day. We will open up our phone lines, inviting you and our listening audience to join us and be part of the conversation today. But Father Griffin, get us started. The sacrament of matrimony, and just talk a little bit, if you would, about family. I mean, can we make the point that our marriages in particular are really under attack today?
I think they most certainly under attack, and I think on so many levels. I think they're under attack by at a political level. We can sort of see that pretty easily. I think they're under spiritual attack. The evil one knows that, you know, the source and foundation, the sort of the building block of everything really is the family, the domestic church. And if he can attack and win there, then he, you know, his reign just, you know, is that much easier everywhere else. I also think that there is a kind of sort of an indirect attack going on, in the sense that the very qualities and virtues that make up for strong families of commitment and fidelity and, you know, all these different things are themselves under attack, you know, in other areas of life. But because they are, it also makes living faithful, fruitful marriages that much harder. And there just isn't the same level of social support for families and for strong marriages. And you know, and as I think you were just about to get into there, that, you know, the idea of sticking it out and persevering even in the midst of difficult times. I mean, that message is not, there's no one giving that message, maybe other than the Catholic Church. And so you go to work, or you go to school, you have friends, whatever, and you're not necessarily going to receive a lot of that framework of support that was there, you know, a generation or two ago. So I think it's most certainly under attack and on many different levels.
Yeah, and then talk about fighting for our marriages. As a priest, do you see married couples, I'm going to use the term giving up. I mean, I have friends, family members who I really think they just got to the point where they gave up, that they didn't want it bad enough maybe, or they didn't want to fight for it, or they didn't have the commitment. Something was missing. And do you see that?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's a matter of giving up on both sides. Sometimes where it's maybe especially sad is when one side gives up and the other is willing to keep fighting. you know, but of course it takes two, you know, and so sometimes there can be a real heartache, not just that the marriage sort of isn't working or is failing or seemingly failing or whatever, but also that, you know, you'd be willing to kind of stay in the arena and the other just walks away. You know, and so there's so much heartache and sadness about these things, and betrayal and a disappointment. Now, all of these things can obviously be sanctified, even the bitterness of betrayal and someone walking out on you or whatever. But it's a very, very keen and painful type of suffering.
Yeah. Father Carter Griffin is our spiritual director talking about marriage today. Let's open up our phone lines, inviting you and our listening audience to join us. A toll-free phone number into the studio, 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But as we talk today about the sacrament of matrimony, for you, what is the most difficult part of living out your marriage vows? And when have you wanted to give up but did not give up? When have you had to fight for your marriage and for your family? I'm going to tell you, somebody needs to hear your story today. So again, toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. I wanted to talk today about forgiveness, and maybe now's the time to do that. Can you talk a little bit about the power of forgiveness? And I noticed the other day I'm telling a lot of the same stories over and over again, but I haven't told this one for a while, so humor me, everyone, if you've heard it. But just the power of forgiveness, Father. And I just remember years ago, my wife, Judy, and I just love her to pieces. Man, this lady is just terrific. And the life we lived together, yeah, ups and downs and all the other crazy stuff that people go through. And I'm a cancer survivor and, you know, with prostate cancer. So we've been through it all. We've been through a lot. And I just remember years ago, we were fighting. And it's okay, everybody. You can fight for your marriage. And I'm going to really encourage you to do that today. But I just remember there was a big hurt in our marriage. And we were distant. We weren't close. Everything that was going on when married couples are fighting. And Judy came up to me and she said, "Will you forgive me?" And this is the point of the story. Four most important words any married couple will ever say to one another are, "Will you forgive me?" I'm sorry is good, but "will you forgive me" requires a yes or no answer. And so she said, "Will you forgive me?" And I said, "You know what? I just don't know if I can do that right now." And she grabbed me by the shirt collar and she pushed me over into a kitchen chair. We were in the kitchen and she sat me down in the chair. She sat on my lap. She put her finger in my face and said, "You have to forgive me. God says so." And we laughed and we were able to heal the hurt. And what is so powerful about forgiveness is, I mean, I remember the incident. I remember the moment. What I do not remember is the pain. I do not remember the hurt. And so, Father, for me, my experience is that when we really forgive one another, we remember what happened, but the pain and the wound gets washed away.
It gets healed, yeah. No, I think it's a beautiful story and a compelling story, because there's something very real about the difficulty in forgiving. I mean, I think that has to be acknowledged, that it's not an easy thing to do, and especially when, you know, we're hurt by somebody who's so close to us and who we love so much and are loved by, and, you know, that's the betrayal that's so much harder. It's not a stranger on the street. And so to acknowledge the pain and to acknowledge the difficulty, but also to acknowledge that Jesus has promised us the grace for each day's struggle, including the struggle to forgive. Now, you know, I think it also needs to be said that oftentimes the feelings, you know, may or may not cooperate right away. I think eventually they do, but we can always choose that, you know, I choose to forgive. And over time, you know, the sort of the feelings will come along. But I think a marriage without that, it will end up either sort of breaking apart, or it'll end up just becoming very, very superficial. And so I think what you're pointing out, the need for forgiveness, letting go of grudges, you know, assuming the best intentions, not the worst all the time. I mean, these are all such important kind of qualities that each of us needs to have in our relationships, but I think none more than in marriage.
Yeah, and then, Father, walk us back then into the sacrament of matrimony and then the grace. I mean, I look back at that incident and the other times that we've healed the hurts, the other times we've been honest with one another about hurting one another. But the grace of the sacrament, can you talk about that a little bit? That I don't even know how to describe grace, to be honest with you. But there's something in the relationship that says you're okay. You can heal this. There's power in the love that you have for one another.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, grace, I mean, I guess a shorthand for grace is just sharing in the life of God, you know, receiving the life of God in us. And that is that happens very powerfully in the sacrament of marriage, because marriage is the most perfect echo of God's love for us and Christ's love for his church. And so marriage has not only a strong connection to original sin, if you recall that, you know, that after the original sin, that rupture of the original communion between man and woman happened, you know, and everything became more difficult, and the self-absorption, the egoism, and all that. But so the relationship between man and God at the beginning was disrupted by original sin. Marriage, in a sense, and especially in the Christian dispensation, when it receives the grace of a sacrament, in a sense starts to heal that wound. And so there is something very important to God about making sure that Christian couples are given all the strength that they need to continue to be a reflection of his love for us. And they're going to do so with all the imperfections of any human relationship. So the grace of matrimony is not a magical thing. It doesn't mean problems go away. Sometimes it might even intensify difficulties, but it also intensifies the healing, as you experienced in that moment of forgiveness for your wife. And that is part of the grace of the sacrament. So it's being able to live the different aspects of marriage that we know is the unity, or the permanence, as well as the exclusivity or the fidelity, and then the openness to life, those three goods of marriage in the Catholic understanding. And all of those are given strength and healing by the grace of the sacrament on the day of the wedding and all the way through their married life together.
Yeah, and then talk a little bit more about the sacrament, because I think, I know for me, I was a convert when wasn't Catholic yet when we were married. And it's taken a lot of years to really begin to understand the significance of the sacrament. But can you talk about that? Because I always look at the sacrament of matrimony as really a great responsibility for husbands and wives, or for my wife and me as a married couple. The way we love one another should be a reflection of how God loves us. To me, that's a great responsibility for us married couples.
It is. And, you know, and that begins with, it has to be a, you know, you mentioned the sacrament, it has to be a human act. And that means that it's a free act. And it means that the couple which confer the sacrament on each other, in at least the Latin Church's understanding of the sacrament of marriage, of matrimony. So it has to be this human act that is freely given, free consent, which means you have to be able to give consent. You have to be mature enough for that. And you have to be free of impediments and so forth and incapacities. And it has to be public, you know. And so all of these things come together in the sacrament of matrimony, which means that there is a real need for good preparation, for good formation, good human and Christian foundations. And that begins typically in one's own family life, among family, parents and friends, parents and brothers and sisters, maybe the spiritual family too, the pastors growing up, Christian community. But that special preparation that is needed by each couple addressing their particular needs, so that they can enter into that moment of the sacrament, of giving this sacrament to each other freely and publicly, and really beginning on the right foot, you know. And I think there is a great need for good marriage preparation, as recent popes have said over and over again.
We are talking today about the sacrament of matrimony. What's the most difficult part of living out your marriage? When have you wanted to give up, but maybe you did not? When have you had to fight for your marriage and for your family? If you'd like to join us, it's a toll-free phone number. Father Carter Griffin is our spiritual director, 888-914-9149. Don't forget, you can email us, innerlife@relevantradio. We will get to some phone calls. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. One day, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was with him for healing. And some men brought on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring him in and set him in his presence. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles into the middle in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "As for you, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and Pharisees began to ask themselves, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them in reply, "What are you thinking in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." He stood up immediately before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God, and, struck with awe, they said, "We have seen incredible things today."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life spiritual directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff, along with our producer, Nick Schmitz, Jim Shaper answering your phone calls, Father Carter Griffin, our spiritual director, Father's a priest in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., rector of the St. John Paul II Seminary in the nation's capital, talking today about the sacrament of matrimony. And phone lines are open if you'd like to join us as we talk about marriage, the most difficult part of living out your marriage vows. And we're talking about not giving up. I mean, your marriages are so important to the world, to the church, to your family. But was there a time maybe when you wanted to give up but did not? And when have you had to fight for your marriage and your family? And again, I said it earlier, someone needs to hear your story today. We hope you'll call in and share it with us on the program today. Toll-free number 888-914-9149. You can email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. So, Father Griffin, let's take some phone calls. And David, listening in Lexington, Kentucky, you are up first, and it's nice to have you on the program today.
Yes, sir. I want to talk about my marriage, which is kind of unusual. My wife gave her life to marry me 13 years ago because I'm the type of guy that a lot of women don't want to marry, because I have a mental illness, and my wife gave up all to marry me. And I joined the Catholic Church upon marrying her because she was Catholic, and I was Protestant. And right after we first got married, we had some difficulties because she would say some negative remarks, and I've got a lot of those negative remarks all my life because of my mental illness, and maybe I wasn't as loving to her as much as I should have been. There's an age difference with us. But she forsook her friends who probably were against me, and she just stayed married to me. But it got abusive at times, and she got abusive between the two of us. But she never gave up on me, and I leave home, and one time I even went to jail, and I was in jail over this abuse. In the middle of jail, I thought I was going to spend 2 weeks in jail. I prayed to Jesus. I really got real with Jesus, and I was released a short time later. That's been about a year and a half ago. And just recently have I thought of her as a poor victim because she married me, and I have more love and compassion for her than ever, because like the Bible scripture says, husbands, give your lives for your wives like Christ gave his life for the church. And she gave her life for me, my wife, when she married me, because I was a mentally ill person living in a boarding home for mentally ill men. And therefore, all I can do is give my life back to her.
Thank you, David. That's a beautiful testimony to her love for you, and you know, and your love for her. Let me ask you: was there when you were in jail, you know, and you were praying to the Lord and asking for grace? Was there anything that, in particular, when you went back to your wife, that changed in you?
Remembering the Bible scripture and just. I would see visions of like little animals, like a little hurt lamb or a hurt penguin, and I thought of her as a hurt lamb or a hurt penguin, and my love and compassion just overflowed for her.
So just how you,
no matter what anybody says,
how you were sort of seeing her and thinking of her and sort of reframing the sort of everything in your mind, and I think sometimes that is, you know, a beautiful grace, you know, to be able to think. Sort of with new eyes, to see with new eyes, to think with a new mind about your spouse, gives an opportunity to kind of put the marriage on stronger footing again. And the other, of course, I mean, but it's not just a human act, you know, that I think the other thing that you are witnessing too is just the power of grace. Obviously, these are very complicated situations, and sometimes there are, in fact, abusive relationships. Where you know it's not where the couple will not be able to continue to live together, but at the same time to recognize that each one is different, each marriage is different, and to be able to stick it out and to ask for the grace to have a new beginning of that marriage is just so very beautiful. Yeah. Well, thank you for your call, David.
Yeah, David, we appreciate that a lot. And he's referring to Ephesians 5, and I love to talk about this passage. If I know everybody's familiar with it. It starts, wives, be subordinate to your husbands. And whenever I read this or share it with people, I tell the men, keep reading. Because then to David's reference, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave his life for the church. And so I always like to make the reference, and the image I use, Father, is that we look at Jesus dying on the cross. We are his bride, the church, and we as men are called to give our lives for our brides, aren't we?
Exactly. You know, and I think that way of meditating with the crucifix and to see that as the, and that he's not only the priest and the victim, but he's also the bridegroom. And it's been called sometimes the cross is his marriage bed, where he's, in a sense, consummating that marriage with his bride. And that powerful imagery of seeing him bruised and beaten, you know, and dying, you know, literally pouring every drop of his blood out. That's the image of marriage, which sounds obviously very dark and difficult, and it is. There's a lot of sacrifice involved in marriage, but together with that, of course, that's the seed and the beginning of the resurrection. You know, and the grace that comes in the grace and the sacrament of matrimony is precisely through not avoiding the suffering and the sacrifice that is involved in marriage, and
yeah.
Frankly, in any vocation.
Yeah, David, if I might ask you a question, I think you're still on the line with us. As you look back on everything you've been through with your wife, are you aware of the sacrifice that you've made? But are you experiencing, I'm going to use the term resurrection, are you experiencing new life in your marriage because of everything you've been through?
Yes, she appreciates me more now, and she's more patient and understanding, and her daughter, who was very upset with me because I had abused her in the past and didn't accept me anymore, I'm trying to get her to change her perspective of me, her daughter, which is my stepdaughter, and lives away from here. I'm trying to have her daughter converted back to the faith because she's living with a man without being married to him.
Yeah.
and I'm trying to convince her daughter to give her life to the Lord, but it's going to be slow going.
Well, David, thanks for the call. We appreciate the honesty. We appreciate you joining us on the program today. And Father, before we get to another phone call, marriage, it's good times, it's bad times. It's all part of what married couples go through in any relationship. And sometimes it is slower than we want it to be, isn't it?
Yeah, and something you mentioned earlier is also important. And when you were talking about the forgiveness, it's like it's okay to argue. It's okay to quarrel. I think one of the difficulties we're running into that we experience in the younger couples is that they associate fighting with divorce. They associate quarreling with the breakup of the marriage, and perhaps that's what they witnessed themselves growing up with their own parents or with friends or other relatives. And nothing could be further from the truth. It would be unnatural and unfeeling and inhuman to expect somebody to go through 50, 60, 70 years without quarreling, you know, with his or her spouse. And so to kind of have that sense, it's not a question of not quarreling, but rather how it's done, when it's done, you know, in front of whom, and things like that. And to know that you can work through difficulties and work through some of these struggles, as you said, physical illnesses maybe or whatever it might be, and to have that confidence that, yeah, we're going to get through this. By the grace of God and with a lot of hard work on our part, we're going to get through this. And every time a couple can get through it, if they have that sense of surrender, that sense of that supernatural outlook as they approach their marriage.
Yeah. Father Carter Griffin is our spiritual director. If you're just joining us on The Inner Life today, talking about the sacrament of matrimony. And let's take another phone call. Mario, listening in Washington, D.C. Hello, Mario. Welcome to The Inner Life.
Hi, Chuck, and hi, Father Carter. Thank you, Chuck, for your ministry, and Father Carter, thank you for your vocation. It's an amazing, amazing gift to all of us, so thank you. So Chuck and Father, I would just tell you a little bit of my story. I would never thought I would call in, but Chuck's admonition that if we have a story to tell, we should tell it. I do want to tell it. About a year and a half ago, while I was married for 15 years, it was not a sacramental marriage. My wife is not Catholic, was not Christian. But we were, you know, relatively happily married. We have two beautiful daughters. A week before my birthday, she told me she wanted to separate. I was devastated. The long and the short of it is there was no doubt that my anger played a part, and I've confronted that. But she said that she had frankly wanted something else, that, you know, she felt that she had become someone she didn't want to be and she wanted to move on. So it's been about a year and a half. I've been living out of the house. I thought we would go to couples counseling as she had promised. That was a condition of my leaving the house. I have, over the past year and a half, Father, I can't tell you how many tears I've shed. I'm going to try to hold it together, but in any event, the point is that we are heading towards a divorce. My wife, that is what she wants. I continue to fight for the marriage in the way that I can. And I know that through lots of spiritual direction and prayer, that the way the Lord is calling me to fight now is to completely surrender and to recognize that it's not really about what I do anymore. Of course, I can make it worse, but it's about entrusting it to the Lord, about being there and knowing that he's in the boat. And that I hope that by just being the best person, best father that I can be, I hope that she'll change her mind. But I know in my heart that it's no longer up to me. But I have to tell you, Father, and this is part of the reason I said thank you to start with, is that in the last year and a half, what has become clear to me is that Christ is alive because his body is alive. My parishioners who knew me in a very superficial way, just because of the nature of how, you know, we go to Mass and we leave, have in unbelievable ways come to meet me and come despite COVID, despite challenges, just been such a source of love in my life. So the church and our Lord are the truest things to me now. And I still fight for my marriage, but I thank God in a very powerful way. And maybe this is why if you're sensing my emotions, it's not primarily emotions of sadness. It's the kind of emotions that come forth when you just know that there are such powerful truths at play. So I'll stop there. And obviously there's a lot more I can say, but most importantly, I hope that this might help others. And I wanted to say thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mario. Thank you for that beautiful testimony. I think you're right. I think it was definitely the Lord's will for you to call it, because I think a lot of people are going to resonate with a number of the things that you're experiencing or going through, either having been in the past or maybe they're beginning some of those struggles right now. I think some of the points that you mentioned are so important to kind of pull out and hold on to. And the first one, of course, is that you're going, that this has become, as hard as it is, it's also become a way that God has drawn you closer to himself. And we can see there, sometimes we can see it in this life, I think sometimes we'll only see it in the next life, but how God is going to, nothing is greater than God's sovereignty, and he's going to use even this incredible pain and this suffering that you're going through, and that I presume your wife is going through too, to draw you, if you will allow it to draw you closer to him. As you said, he's there. He's in the boat. He's there with you. And maybe in times like this, our eyes are opened to see more clearly that, in fact, he's there, and he's not asleep. And I think you're right. I think one of the real sufferings, one of the real sacrifices of marriage, one of the ways that marriage, I think, is in other respects, too, a harder vocation than the vocation to celibacy, is precisely because you can't control sort of the other half, right? I mean, there's a certain suffering in letting that go, letting it, sort of having that abandonment and saying, God is going to work through all of this. I know that. But I can control, with God's grace, my own actions, my own decisions, my own choices, but I really can't control my spouses, and to know that, and to know that there's a certain helplessness in that, and being able to let go of that, I think is one of the pains, but also one of the opportunities for growth that marriage reflects. And so, yeah, just thank you for your testimony and for that beautiful witness you've given us.
Yeah, Mario, God bless you. Thanks for joining us. And Father Griffin, in terms of counseling, getting help, I'm always so amazed that the church offers us ways to grow in our marriage, ways to heal our marriage. I know for my wife, Judy, and myself, a marriage encounter was just a beautiful experience. I do know some couples who, in fact, I talked with a friend the other day who did not enjoy their marriage encounter weekend, but the vast majority of people who go on a marriage encounter weekend have really enjoyed it. It's been life-giving in so many ways. But I think Father of Retrovi, and Mario, if don't know if you've had time or to even consider a weekend like Retrovi. It's a French word for rediscover. It's for hurting marriages like yours, where husbands and wives go and spend the weekend just dealing with what's in front of them. But Father, the church really does offer so many ways, just even our parish priests, someone like you in Washington. Washington, D.C., but there's so many ways that the church says we want to help you, and sometimes I think we turn our back on the help.
Yeah, because I think oftentimes when we're in pain and we're suffering, we may sort of want to pull away, but in fact what we need are more connections in our lives. We need more relationships that will start to, that will be a source of strength for us. And the church itself as a spiritual family can hopefully be that for many people, as it's been for Mario. And like you said, there can be other friends, relatives, maybe mentor couples, older couples perhaps who have sort of been through the ringer already, and they're on the other side of it, and they can offer really helpful advice and support for us. And as you said, marriage encounter, Retrovi, things like that. The priests themselves, for spiritual direction. And sometimes, a good Catholic or at least Christian psychologist who has a solid Christian anthropology, and has the same understanding of marriage that we have, can often be very helpful for couples. So to reach out, to not just sort of hold it in and say, I can handle this, or, we're gonna get through this, I don't need, but we do need. We need other people, and we need Jesus, and we need other human beings. We need other people in our lives. And so I think that also is a very important testimony of what Mario is just saying.
Yeah, and Mario, retrovi is a French word. It's spelled R-E-T-R-O-U-V-A-I-L-L-E, pronounced retrovi. And if you'll just do an internet search for retrovi, there will be a national website. I wish I had it in front of me. I do not. I probably should have, so forgive me for that. But the there will be weekends. There will be experiences in the D.C. area, certainly in Virginia, there on the East Coast, that if your wife is open to it, that you could go to. And I guess maybe the question I want to ask, Father, is healing is possible, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and healing, in a sense, whatever direction it moves in, you know, that we can heal from anything. There's no wound that is too great for our divine physician. And that begins with an encounter with grace. And sometimes a healing, and we can end up, even though it's not the kind of life we were expecting, it's not how we thought the future, what it would look like, but it will be a future with the Lord, you know, and with him, everything will turn out, you know, but it just could be different. We may lose a little bit of kind of the dream, you know, that we had hoped for, and instead it's going to be what God has planned for us.
Yeah. And our producer, Nick Schmitz, gave me the website, Mario. It's helpourmarriage.org. Helpourmarriage.org. And my wife, Judy, and I, we were part of the initial start of Retrovi here in the Archdiocese of St. Louis. I've seen the miracles. I know the couples who have gone on this weekend, and literally a miracle has taken place. So, gosh, I just say to you, Mario, don't give up. No, there's a lot of people, including Father Griffin and Chuck Neff, praying for you and your wife that you can heal these hurts and be the witness that I know you want to be, But we appreciate the call. And again, helpourmarriage.org. Father Carter Griffin is our spiritual director, talking today about the sacrament of matrimony, the most difficult of part for you, living out your marriage vows. What keeps you going? When did you want to give up, but you didn't? What kept you going? Toll-free number if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. We'll get to some more phone calls when we come right back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio Studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
To The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Inner Life Show, or email us innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back. Father Carter Griffin is our spiritual director. Father's a priest in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., rector of the St. John Paul II Seminary in the nation's capital. Father Griffin is a convert to the faith, a former line officer, in the U.S. Navy, and author of the book, Why Celibacy? Reclaiming the Fatherhood of the Priest. Talking today about the sacrament of matrimony, let's head back to the phones. And Marie, listening in Nashville, Tennessee, thanks for the call and welcome to the program today.
Hi. Hello, Chuck. Hello, Father. Thank you so much for having me. I just felt called to share my testimony and kind of what we've been through in our marriage. We have four children and we've been married 16 years, but about 9 years ago, my husband was unfaithful, came forward with it, and it was extremely painful. But we were able to work through it. It was not an overnight process. A lot of trust, a lot of prayer. He was not Catholic at the time, and our marriage, actually, we did not have a sacramental marriage, and we had the sanation done, so praise be to God for that process. But he also converted, but we went to Retrovi, and I just wanted to give a plug for that. I heard you mention it earlier, too. I think Mario was the caller. And I do think, Father and Chuck, that was a turning point for us. It was two nights in our diocese, 3 days, two nights. And we had two little babies at home at the time, under two. And, you know, it took a big leap of faith to leave small children at home. But I'm so glad we did. And we also met with our parish priest. And we came in and told him everything. We weren't embarrassed. We just laid it all out. And he couldn't have been more kind and just so, so caring. And we just wanted a Catholic approach. We didn't just want to see any run-of-the-mill counselor. But we did end up going to see a counselor and stayed with her for a good 2 years. And it just, it was a long process. And we've been through some other pain since then. My husband is an alcoholic. And again, praise be to God, he got in a program. He's living a sober life now. But, you know, we've had two other children, two other blessings since the infidelity. And I look at them and I often think, what would have happened if I left my husband? They wouldn't even be here. So I just wanted to share that story and just give encouragement to those that especially might be going through infidelity, whether physical or emotional. I think in the secular society and in movies, it's like if someone's unfaithful, we're to leave them. But in the church, you know, marriage is supposed to be for life. We're supposed to be committed for life. And I'm just so thankful that there was forgiveness in our marriage and that we had the spiritual guidance of the community that we had in Retrovi. I just want to plug them again. Wonderful, wonderful organization.
Thanks, Marie. Wow. Yeah. I mean, it is something from sort of the outside looking in. It just, you know, I think a lot of people just sort of say, wow, I mean, I hope I would be able to do that. You know, I hope I'd be able to forgive in that way if my spouse were unfaithful to me. And it's testimony of people like you that says, no, it is possible. It is possible. And, you know, it's one thing to point out, by the way, is that you said you've been married 16 years and that was 9 years ago, which is precisely what, you know, these are kind of moments, certain moments during a marriage, they say after 7 years tends to be one of 7 year itch and stuff, you know, where these things, because there are these moments that have become more difficult. And to know that those moments don't last forever, you know, that to get on the other side of those and to keep working through whatever difficulties, and to know that, you know, you, like you have said, it's going to take a while. You're going to need help, you know, get other people involved to help, and above all, to allow it to be something that Jesus, you know, enters into that marriage in a new way, in healing, as it happened in your case. And so you're right, those two children owe their life to you being willing to receive that grace and to receive the gift of forgiveness in your own heart.
Yeah.
And also the work that your husband did too.
Yeah. Marie, I'm just curious if you could take us back into those dark moments of that marriage. Back then, could you see any light at the end of the tunnel? Did you think any of this might possibly be possible?
Oh, gosh. What a great question, Chuck. Certainly, we wanted more children before, you know, the infidelity. But, I mean, to look again in their faces, and we actually have one in heaven as well that we miscarried at 9 weeks, and so three children. I just, those dark days, I just want to give encouragement because I think the two children we had is what kept me going. I'd wake up in the morning, I would make breakfast, I would clean the house, I would do what needed to get done. But then once we had the counseling and the Retrovi that gave us the tools, it sort of gave me a framework. There was a lot of journaling. Retrovi really encourages a lot of communication via journaling. Because sometimes couples actually have a very difficult time. The communication skills just are not there. I know with my husband and I, we really never learned great communication skills, so sharing our feelings via journaling. And so, yeah, you know, there were some days that I guess I just knew in my heart that the Holy Spirit was present in our marriage and that, again, God doesn't like divorce. You know, people that are divorcees, they're not bad people. Some people have to leave really horrible situations, but I just knew that I had to put my whole life, and my husband did too, on the line and say, we're submitting ourselves. And I will say too, it wasn't easy. It takes a long time to rebuild trust, Chuck. It really does. And we have very open and honest communications quite often, you know, if we, you know, if there's any suspicious nature, but that really does go away, but it does take time.
Yeah. Well, Marie, God bless you for calling in today. And Father Carter Griffin is our spiritual director, by the way, if you're just joining us. But Father, we hear that story that I don't even know what the word is here, but just the perseverance, the trust, the knowledge that God is in this marriage to keep going and don't give up. And I think so many couples do want to give up, don't they?
Yeah, no, that's true. And I'm just in awe, you know, of couples like Marie and her husband, and you know, and they're not. It's unlike other ages, I think, where there would have been, as you said at the beginning, sort of a lot of social support for this, and there would have been, you know, a lot of people encouraging them to stick it out and to persevere, and oftentimes Catholic couples who are trying to be faithful and trying to be faithful to the vision of marriage of the Church and of really of the Lord and the Scriptures. Have to do so almost alone. You know, all the more reason to have hopefully a parish family that can be there to support you and to encourage you. But I just, I find it to be a, just a beautiful instance of God's grace working so powerfully in an almost superhuman way when I hear stories like that from Marie.
Yeah. Marie, thanks again. Really a pleasure to have you on the program today. And real quick, we're not going to be able to get to the rest of our phone calls. Unfortunately, we'll have to do this subject again soon. But Father Carter Griffin, give us some advice. Marriage is, it's tough. Let's just be honest. Two people living together, sharing their life, everything that's going on. But in the midst of a crazy 2020, the 21st century, how do we begin to juggle all of the responsibilities, everything that's going on, and make sure that our marriage is our top priority?
You know, I think intentionality is an important thing to reflect on, Chuck. You know, that we don't just kind of get into just the daily grind and, you know, everything coming at us and, yeah, all the challenges of 2020 and the pandemic and all the rest, but to have time set aside both for God and for our spouse each day, which we don't take for granted, which doesn't become a routine, where we try to hold on to that first love, where we can have time with the one who loves us best, our God himself, and to make time for prayer every day, and to make time for our spouse every day, which is set aside. So it's not something that we just have to kind of see, well, hopefully we'll have a chance to spend some time together, to make it a very intentional thing, both with God and with our spouse. And I think that will open up a space, and that space can then be an occasion for deepening that relationship, again, with God and with the spouse, and to build some of those communication skills that Marie said was, as she said, was just so important, learning more about the other person, allowing the relationship to continue to thrive and to blossom. You know, we talk a lot about the challenges of marriage, and there are plenty of those, but there's also just a beautiful, beautiful vocation that reflects so perfectly God's love for each one of us, and with all the human foibles that go into marriage and all of our lives, nonetheless, God wants to speak powerfully to all of us, and especially to this age in which there's a lot of cynicism and skepticism. To have happy, joyful, fruitful Catholic married couples are powerful witnesses to God's love for us today.
Yeah. And in the minute we have left before we have to wrap things up, talk a little bit, if you would, Father, about the importance of couples praying together.
If there were sort of one piece of advice for a Catholic couple, it would be, why don't you just try to start praying together, and to pray not just, I mean, at the beginning, maybe it has to be more vocal prayers and things like that, but to try to reach a point where you can both speak just from the intimacy of your heart and to do so together, praying to God, and maybe just make it pray for your spouse, in front of your spouse, and to have that opportunity to invite God in, you know, to make a marriage, you know, invite God into that relationship, asking him to be there to strengthen you, to give you wisdom, to give you healing, and to give you insight as you try to live this remarkable vocation. So I think praying together, certainly before the altar and the liturgy of the Church, especially the Holy Eucharist, but also praying in the domestic church at home with each other and, of course, with your children as well.
Yeah.
There's nothing more important.
Yeah, and just I can't say enough about our marriages. We need all of our married couples to be married couples, to fight for each other, to fight with each other, and make your marriage a top priority. The world needs that. God needs that. And trust me, you need that, too. So God bless all of you for working at your marriage and trying to make it work. Father Carter Griffin, we have to wrap things up. We'd like to close with a final blessing for all of our listeners.
I'd be happy to. Chuck, may the blessing of Almighty God descend upon you and the producers of this show, all of our listeners and their family and their friends, and especially their marriages, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Carter Griffin, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next time. On The Inner Life, thanks to Father Carter Griffin. Thanks to you for finding time in your day to spend it with us here on The Inner Life. We do appreciate that. We're celebrating Mass here in about 60 seconds. And don't forget, 12:30 Central, The Faith Explained with Cale Clark. Thanks, everyone. Great to have you with us. We're back tomorrow. See you then.